And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And a special thank you to Amber May and our own Kurt for that last hour. Kurt, wasn't that awesome? That was phenomenal.
I thought it was, yeah.
It was a great, great time. And now, if it is, what, the third Tuesday?
It is.
The third Tuesday already? It must be the Business Innovation Panel starring Spencer Tharnock and, in this corner, Charles Gibbs.
Yeah, I actually missed the fact that this is the third Tuesday.
That is the third Tuesday, right? Three
it
to
is.
Four. Yeah. So this is great because one thing people need is more innovation. They need to think differently. When I think of innovation, I think of outside-the-box thinking. Charles,
is that how you think about it? Innovation, creative thinking, all that stuff kind of fits in the same room together.
Yeah, it's very important.
So,
and Spencer, same question for 10 points.
Same back at you, Spencer.
Yeah.
I mean, innovation is really about pushing forward and finding new things that work better or more efficiently, or revisiting things you already do and looking at how you could do them better.
Which is very, very important, especially, I shouldn't say especially, but I'm going to say it, in today's economy, where if you don't break out and get beyond yourself and break out of the same habits that you do over and over and blaming the outside, guess what? It's going to be, that's your life. I mean, remember that movie or that TV series? This is your life. You could predict how your life is going to be if you don't change internally.
Well, I can tell you, because I have been around sales and marketing for such a long time and have marketed an array of different things, products as well as services, and I think about the years I spent marketing Mercedes-Benz, and Mercedes-Benz was one of those companies that was notorious for extending their retooling. I mean, they wouldn't change what they call a sheet metal of a car for like 8 to 10 years.
Wow.
You could no more get away with that in this visual economy than a man on the moon.
Wow.
Because people insist on you being fresh, if you will, and new.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that old stuff becomes so obsolete that it is of no value to anyone. It's just that not even at the higher end, and I'm telling you, Mercedes-Benz, there's one model I remember distinctly that basically outside of maybe a bumper or a headlight or something of that nature, it stayed basically in the market for, I believe it was like 11 years.
That is a long time. Can you imagine not updating a website for 11 years?
Yeah, or not updating not update how you work with your customers for 11 years. You've been giving them the same old stale nonsense.
Yeah.
And you probably haven't
yeah.
even done anything to research their mindsets at that stage. You don't, not only, even if you wanted to do the right thing, you're too ignorant of what the right thing is because you're not in tune with the whole innovation of being able to stay on top of things and the things going on around you that affects your customers. Forget about how you feel about it. Personally, guys, I believe that that's the biggest problem, is that we're so focused on ourselves and being selfish in our behavior when we're actually depending on others to make our living for us.
That's a good point, Spencer.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. I mean, we have to continually look at how we can do things better. I mean, that's kind of the core.
Yeah, and of course, both of you have to keep up to date on that. And I know Spencer with technology and the web stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. internet. I mean, if you fall asleep at the wheel just for like a couple months, it's the right. There's more cars out there that you say, "Well, what is that? Is that a car or a plane?"
Right. Yeah. There's new tools and new techniques for doing things and new standards that are constantly being released, which is I actually enjoy keeping up with it.
And that's important to enjoy it rather than fear change, to say the only constant in life is change.
Well, that is not only true to reality, it is true to what's been going on around you all your life. You've been right on the Ferris wheel of change. You've just, for whatever reason, most people decide not to engage in it. And I personally think that you don't have that luxury as an entrepreneur, as a business person, to not try and stay on top of things such as things that just want to save you time and money. I guess that's the simplest way I'm going to put it. Time and money.
Yeah. Those are two things that people seem to focus on. And we're going to get into that because one of my pet peeves is when you present something, and you both will relate to this, when you present something to someone, if they immediately focus on cost, they may, they're going to start comparing it at least unconsciously to something else. Like if say, oh, it's, you know, it's going to be, you know, $300 a month, $200 a month, you know, for on a payment plan for a website, mm-hmm. or you know, oh, what is that? Is that my phone? What is going on here? Oh, it's a loyal caller.
Please turn off all phones.
Yeah. I always talk about that. Remember I told you about the story about this minister was very tough about when you're in the service, make sure you always turn off your cell phone, especially if he's doing a wedding.
Yeah.
And he forgot to turn off his cell phone.
Of course.
Right in the middle of the wedding. That is embarrassing.
That's kind of how it works.
Not only did he just turn it off, he answered it.
Oh, my goodness.
Speak now, or, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah, like, exactly. Ring. It might have been an ex-boyfriend. No, stop that wedding.
No.
It was probably Dustin Hoffman. Remember The Graduate? That was a classic movie. What was I talking about? I forgot. It was something about...
The whole idea of us not being willing to recognize and accept change and innovation for the most part as a business person... because we won't, you know, I believe that a lot of us will not separate our business platform from our personal platform. So therefore, we take a lot of business approaches personal.
That's
rather
right.
Than looking at it from a business perspective, which simply means that it's mostly about your end user than it is about you.
Absolutely. And now you reminded me, I was talking about cost and value.
Yes.
Right.
And this is something I bet you can relate to. So how interesting is it when someone immediately focuses on cost? Because usually the next question is, or next statement is, I can't afford it, because they're comparing it with something of that doesn't even relate to the particular product. Like, you know, maybe they're thinking of it as a car payment or a house payment, or they're thinking of it in terms of just hardline cost. Now, if people train their mind to look at value, so if you present something, a marketing plan, consulting, a website, you know, complete with everything you do, maybe social media stuff, or anything, you know, NLP, seminars, and people first understand the value, that instead of going to cost, they say, let me look at the value, how this can enhance my life. And if they determine it's valuable, the next question should be, how can I afford it? Not, I can't afford it. And it's so critical to be able to focus your mind that way, because how many missed opportunities, how many shallow lives are there for people looking at costs and saying, no, I can't do it? Comments?
Lots.
Oh, I huge. Mean, I mean, you probably say it all the time.
I think the majority of people out there have that kind of a defeatist.
Yeah, that's attitude. A good word, a defeatist attitude, Charles. I mean, isn't that right?
Well, yeah, I think that we're only doing what we personally know how to do rather than business-wise. I think that as we all grow and learn in business, there are things that you have to quantify and justify, not so much just say, I can't afford that. Because under most circumstances, if it's meant to make you more effective and make you more money and make you more this, anything that can make you money doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, see, that's a nice way of looking at it, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is. You could have paid, if you will, $100,000 for it. But if it made you $300,000, or even if it made you $101,000, it still cost you nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the perception.
It's the perception of it, and that's the part that I believe in business. You can afford to be skeptical, but ignorance is not good. You can't afford to be ignorant in business. You have to somehow build yourself a conglomerate of knowledge so that either someone that know more about it than you do can accomplish that. And if implemented properly and right, it'll make your business grow. It'll save you money as opposed to cost you money. It'll make you money. It'll make your customers happier.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt.
You know, all those things come into a standpoint of value, not price.
And if people want more information, I actually wrote a couple blogs on this very topic. One is Peak Performance, Are Positive Thoughts Enough? And the second one was, Are You Performing Above Your Comfort Zone? People recognize, they at least intellectually know, they operate within their comfort zone. But I got to tell you now, read that blog on my website, which is breakradioshow.com, breakradioshow.com. And read that, because if you're not setting goals in the next level or above your comfort zone, and you're only setting goals within your comfort zone, then you're going to get what you always got. I mean, you got to start setting goals above your comfort zone, beyond your self-imposed limitations. It's a real trick to know how, but that is the key to success. That's what the topic is today.
Actually, I believe it's not as tricky as people think it is.
They make it tricky.
They make
they?
It tricky
yeah,
because they can't see past
yeah.
where they stand right
totally
now.
Totally agree. And that's why a coach is good, or hiring, you know, Charles, hiring you, hiring Spencer, because mm-hmm. you'll bring people into a new realm. You'll say, wait, maybe you haven't thought of this. And they go, oh, thank you. You
that's
know?
What a guide and an advisor yeah. are supposed to do, take you out in a body of water that makes it simple and easy for you to get a little bit more comfortable in being out there. As
it
opposed to having to go out and map it all out yourself and go through the pain and agony of having to do that. I hate the whole idea of people feeling comfortable with winging it when it's yeah. when they know it's going to cost them probably more time and money to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Spencer?
Well, I mean, what I'm thinking right now, just listening, is basically about different types of scenarios where I'm very interested in something. I love to learn new things and about it, but if it's something that isn't necessarily, you know, I'm a technology guy. I'm like computers, I like programming. But if it has something to do with, you know, maybe taxes and accounting and things I don't fully understand, I'm not going to push myself outside of that
yeah.
where I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
So it would be important for me to bring someone in professionally to help me understand, and then have, you know, I would get a huge range of progression in that category rather than just turning off when I think about it, you know, and just, you know, shutting down, basically.
I totally agree. And when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion with the Business Innovation Panel with Spencer Thornock and Charles Gibbs. And we're going to sort of put this down more specific, the difference between sales and marketing. In other words, how do you move from a sales organization mindset to a sales and marketing mindset? That is what's important. Most people are sales-oriented. It's time to get market-oriented in conjunction with sales, and we'll be right back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the Business Innovation Panel starring Spencer Thornock, who's dancing right now. That was pretty cool. And Charles Gibbs. Do that again.
I was thinking about bringing the air guitar in.
Oh,
next
yeah.
time.
They do that. Do you know they do that at the Coyote games? They go, it's air guitar time.
Air guitar time.
They start panning out in the audience, and people are doing air guitar. Some of them are pretty good.
Anything to keep people engaged.
I think that's fun.
My friend Eric and his girlfriend Susie won the Suns game Valentine's couple thing where they sat courtside.
All you're kidding.
Yeah, it was like they entered to win, and they got a $300 gift certificate to a really nice restaurant.
Oh, my.
But they sat courtside to the last Suns game.
That is cool. How'd they win?
She just entered online. Oh. I mean, they're huge Suns fans, and they go to a lot of the games. And
She just entered once?
Yeah, she just entered.
That is cool.
Wow. That was
pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Well, unlike the guy who won the house I was watching, this guy entered like, he entered like 10 times every day that he could enter up until the time that, he said, I had nothing else to do.
And it was worth it.
It was worth it. He won.
Wow.
And then it went into foreclosure, though.
I never win anything. But that they allowed him to, think about it. He just changed his odds.
By
entering so many times.
So did the MIT people when they went to Vegas.
Right.
With their brains.
When you count.
That's pretty smart, huh?
Yeah.
That was a good movie, 21. Remember that one?
Right.
Pretty cool. Yeah, that was good. Now, let me ask you guys, have you ever been to like a hockey game or some game where they do the kiss cam?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the kiss cam? So they pan in on a couple and they're supposed to, kiss or something. Not something, but kiss. And then sometimes it's prearranged. It will show, will you marry me? And the guy has the ring and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think one time the girl said no. It's really sad. In front of, 18,000 people.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not always the best
way. Teach you got to know who you can surprise and who you can put into shock.
Yeah.
I would say that marriage is kind of a shocking thing. It's not supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. It's
yeah, so you don't want to shock in the wrong area,
It's,
yeah.
It's definitely shocking.
Okey-dokey.
It shocks me.
It's definitely shocking. We should talk about that. Valentine's Day.
I would say that's definitely a new conversation for a new time.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do that on Match No Match.
There you go.
The Valentine's special.
Match No Marriage?
Yeah. did you guys have a nice Valentine's Day?
It was quiet.
It was quiet? Spencer?
Yeah. I did. I had a good time.
All right.
Yeah.
We actually
got together and went to a drive-in Sunday night, the drive-in in Scottsdale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'd never been there before.
Yeah, that's still around, isn't it?
I know. I felt like I was stepping back in time, so before I was born or something.
Yeah. what movie did you see?
Two horrible movies. Actually, the first one was okay. It was called Go With It with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston.
I saw that. I thought it was funny.
It was good. It was good. The second one was The Tourist. With Angelina Jolie.
Oh, and Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
You didn't like
horrible.
That, huh? But she was cute, though.
That didn't get a very good rating.
I think they
being those who make the final decision on what movies come out, they were a little too enamored with Angelina.
Yeah.
And that kind of, as if it didn't need any substance, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, got you.
Well, I think they just were two huge names, one movie.
Right, right.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I don't think we're going for this one. They forget that the critics don't play that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess it didn't get good reviews.
No, I don't think it got anywhere.
That's why it was the second feature, I guess.
They were hoping people would leave and not see it. Stuck around, though.
You did.
It was fun.
Oh, that's right.
This is like the second drive-in I've ever been to, and last time I was real little, so.
Oh, this was a drive-in.
It was a drive-in.
Double. I didn't even know what we were talking about. Yeah. I was waiting to hear that part. I must have missed that part of it or something.
Yeah, the drive-in.
There's
one in Glendale, too.
Drive-in. Yeah,
interesting.
Glendale and Scottsdale. I think that's only two, right?
Yeah. Do they have real dirt out there?
Yep, it was dirt.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna do
it's nothing like a drive-in,
Yeah.
Roll your windows down so some clown comes through in his pickup truck going too fast and dusts you right out,
Did you buy any refreshments?
We got In-N-Out Burger before we went.
That's smart.
And then we got a drink. They had a little break in between the movies.
It's very expensive at the refreshments now.
Yeah.
And then you have to walk like 17 miles to get there.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've totally.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is the movie stuff.
Sorry, Charles.
That's what you get for bringing up Valentine's.
Oh, that's right.
Business innovation. A
shocking experience.
Don't bring up yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's talk about now and tomorrow.
Exactly. So how do you move from a sales organization mindset to sales and marketing mindset? I can throw out a statement. Most people I meet in business, they're really sales oriented. They don't either know what marketing is, or they just don't see the value if they do know what it is, or they really don't define it in a way that serves them well. So what is the difference between sales and marketing? Who wants to go first?
Well, I think since,
there, Charles,
since I consider myself to be
a marketing guy,
quote unquote, an expert,
yep.
That depends on who I'm talking to and how deep in the closet they probably are from a standpoint of marketing and sales. But that's why I try and use the what I call the fishing analogy.
Oh yeah,
which is that, you know, there's baiting and catching.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it's tough to do one without the other, and so I kind of look at sales and marketing that way. If you're not going to market to people, i.e., bait them somehow to pay attention to you, your product and service, even when you get the opportunity to sell them, there's probably going to be such an educational process that it will take 10 trips to the table. So how do you take a person full cycle if they're totally ignorant of what it is that you're sharing with them that really is a problem, and you are the person with the solution, i.e., problem identification usually is done through marketing.
Yeah.
You know, do you have this pain? Does your left foot ache? Do you have a headache? Then you need my drug. And whatever that drug is, that's kind of how things are pitched to all of us. So if we aren't doing marketing with our products and services, then we assume someone else is doing it, and we're just going to kind of come in like a scavenger and steal some of their food.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Nice analogy, Spencer.
I had a feeling we were going fishing.
I just got that feeling.
For it. Well, actually.
That's pretty good, Spencer. I like that. That's okay. Well, actually, it's nice to know that I'm having a profound effect on your thinking.
I'm like learning. I'm like, wow, I just need to go and get a fishing pole. I'm bringing a fishing line.
All right, at least I'm never going without a good guide.
All right. No, it makes great sense because, you know, unless you're just sitting back and waiting for people that already have the problem that know about your service to call you, you're not really painting the picture and helping people understand what solution your problem solves. So, and kind of another analogy that my father uses, he says that you're either like a hunter or a farmer, you know, and that's kind of referring to either, you know, managing a certain customer base or, you know, hunting and finding new customers on a daily basis. And just, you know, it's kind of a similar analogy, but I think marketing is really where you're farming or fishing, and you're really, you know, managing the process and then you're able to accomplish more.
Well, a hunter doesn't plant seeds and a farmer does. See, you plant the seeds, you nurture it, and it grows.
Well, actually,
a hunter does plant seeds?
A hunter does plant seeds.
Oh, yeah, traps.
If the hunter is... no, actually, depending on what you're hunting, and I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
And I am not a hunter,
no.
Folks. I just have a lot of hunters in my life called relatives. And I do enjoy the whole aspect that they enjoy going out and... doing damage to these animals, which is not something that I enjoy, so yeah. I don't do it, okay? But with that said, if you're going to identify with your prospects and you're going to, i.e., put whatever source of whatever it is that attracts them to you, then you need to do that via the fact that you are hunting or fishing. You need to identify with bait. You need to identify with what it is that you're going after while you're putting that kind of bait out there, whatever the case is. So that bait in our world, in my world, could be a source of information. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that makes
information
sense.
That helps you to identify with how does this affect you positively or negatively. And the more of that information you have, if it's affecting your bottom line negatively and you know how you can make adjustments to make that a positive effect, then the fact of you not doing it is mostly based on the whole situation where you're ignorant of what it is you need to do. And so you need to have either someone figure that out for you, or you need to figure it out for yourself. Or you're definitely going to be one of those businesses that is suffering more than you need to with a product or service that is of need and value to the end user. And that's a shame, actually.
It is. That makes sense. So mm-hmm. You both have similar concepts. Now, as we go through some of these questions, I think it will be apparently more clear, painfully clear to the listeners and to people that really want to learn. And the next question really is how does the most successful marketers in the world think about their organization? And I'll just start off, and then you guys can jump in. is marketers think long term. They're strategic in nature versus maybe a salesperson. They want the action right then and there. And so marketers, the best ones, are really have a learning mindset. They're strategic. They're looking long term on steps to almost like a series of steps to be able to position themselves to gain exposure for their product and really educate on how valuable their product could be. Spencer. I mean, Charles.
Whoa, the other Spencer.
Other
Spencer number two.
I was looking at you and saying, Spencer, I threw you off. I threw myself off.
You threw me off.
That
could have been.
Now, I know I'm about as short as Spencer, but come on.
That could have been. That's an NLP. NLP technique called the mind mixing.
Mind ventriloquism.
Yeah. So how about that? Strategic in nature. And that's what you do.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, looking from marketing is, you know, building awareness for your brand. And there's so many different parts of marketing, you know, and you could build awareness in to help people that aren't even aware of your product. And then, of course, you know, people that are looking for it and helping them understand the value that you offer as opposed to competitors or other solutions in the market. But, the salespeople are really, you know, looking at right now, and you're right, the marketing is more of a long-term 30,000-foot view.
Yeah, I think so, too. And another way you can look at it, just before our break, I'll mention this, is that the marketers are the ones that, like, build the menus, and the salespeople sell what's on the menu. And so, you know, building the menus, sort of like building a website, building a marketing plan, is absolutely critical prior to selling.
Right.
And doesn't this make sense?
It is. And we can expound on that a little bit when we come back, I'm sure, because I have something to say that will take more than 2 seconds.
All right. And we'll be right back with Spencer Thornack and Charles Gibbs. I looked at both of you at the right time when I said your name this time. And we'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel starring Spencer Thornock and Charles Gibbs. We were talking about the most successful marketers, how they think, and we talked about long-term strategic learning mindset. And Charles, you had some comments you wanted to
I was going to say a little bit more about the whole aspect of understanding the nature of a marketer versus a salesperson. And in reality, what you will find, and this is what I've found because I personally think I've been on both sides, and that is that a great marketer doesn't necessarily make for a good salesperson.
That's
but
right.
A good salesperson can almost, in just by nature of his or hers contact with the end user, can become a great marketer.
That makes sense. Spencer, how about you? Marketing.
Sorry.
Okay.
I was looking at marketing on my phone.
Yeah, he was looking at the definition. Oh, no, you...
I was listening and talking about the relationships and mindsets of each of the different types of things. And it's tough because, honestly, I'm not as versed in... You know, I've been in sales, but, I mean, marketing's not necessarily my specialty, but... I can understand it'd be difficult to switch hats. I mean, anytime in business, you have to switch from being either, you know, the engineer doing the work to the executive looking at the 30,000 foot view to the manager managing employees. You got to really pick what you're good at and then find people to help you with the other hat so that you're, you know, because switching mindsets might be too much for some people.
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And the reason why I see that as a great point, because he mentioned engineering, because envision this. Where you have a salesperson, meaning selling to the end user, identifying with the end user, knowing what the complaints are from the end user, who is an engineer that is building what it is he or she is selling.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times you can build stuff and no one will come.
Yeah.
Don't believe that.
Unless you're
that
Kevin
movie
Costner.
Thing. Yeah, unless you're Kevin Costner. Yeah. But that's the real sense is that naturally what makes for a great marketer or even, you know, and I like the fishing analogy because even if you don't fish, you kind of understand that fish don't eat bait or a bite on naked hooks. You know, you have to put something on there. So when you start thinking about the fact of being great at what it is that you're trying to accomplish, you need to, in a sense, identify with the message that you're actually relaying to the end user from only really one perspective, problem in relation to solution. I guess that's two perspectives. But if they don't know or identify with the problem, you can put the solution all over them like warm water. They still won't get the gist of it.
Yeah.
They'll go, why are you pouring that water on me? I mean, it's one of those.
Because you're on fire, and that's the problem.
Yeah, but you just don't know it. It's called internal combustion. No, just kidding. It's
No, you're right. And, you know, that leads into not just an NLP concept, but psychology, the 90-10 rule. They used to call it 80-20, but I call it 90-10. You know, focus 10% on the problem, 90 on the solution. People aren't, they don't do that very well. They focus and continue to focus on their problems, and they get stuck in the problem. They don't look at the solution. And that's where Coach Charles and Spencer, you come in to get them out of that problem state.
Well, I think procrastination has a lot to do with it. A lot of times people, again, they know something isn't right. They know what they have isn't working as well. They just don't really know what to do about it, so they do nothing. All right? So when I come along as a salesperson, and I have this better mousetrap because my engineer told me it was a better mousetrap.
Yeah.
So I'm now going to sell what he or she laid out in front of me as being better than what they have. And knowing that if I do a great job of that, the percentages will be on my side where people will say that, i.e., a 4G phone is better than a 3G phone, even though there's nothing wrong with your 3G phone.
You have a 4G?
No.
I have a 3G. How about you?
I don't have a 4G.
Oh.
But 4Gs are out there. That's the point. The point I'm making here is that people, in a sense, are, for the most part, business people. And I'm talking business people. Business people do not have the luxury, as I mentioned before, of truly going down the road of ignorance. they have the luxury of being very skeptical in how they spend their money, what is going to actually better their situation. But they know that if they are not playing the game and they're not engaged in the game, chances are someone is winning more games than they're winning.
No doubt.
And that's a given.
There's no doubt. And here's a tip, I think, alongside the successful thinking styles of marketers is what I suggest, and see if you both agree with this, is working backwards. It really focuses or it really forces people to focus on seeing the completed model. What is it they really desire? What is their real goal? What do they really want? What does it look like 5 years from now, whatever their company looks like? And then work backwards, let's say 5 years from now. Some companies will go 10 years out, and they work backwards, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, you know, and they'll keep working backwards to present. And every step of the way, they look, how did I get here? They ask the question, how did I get here? What does it take to get to the completed model and the steps in between? A lot of people start from today looking forward. I think they get overwhelmed, and they don't see the clear focus of what their completed model looks like, meaning their business. But I think if you work backwards, and I do that in finances too, what's your net income? Don't start with your sales. Start with your net income. What do you want to make plus reserves? Add in the expenses. It forces your sales. This is what you're going to have to sell. A lot of people say, yeah, I think I can sell this based on their self-imposed limitations. Mm-hmm. They put the expenses in, and then they look like, whoops, now I got a loss. So don't start with a loss. And if you do, then you shouldn't be in business. Start with a positive net income. And I don't believe the people that say it's going to take 3 to 5 years starting a business to make money. No, change your belief, change that expectation, and find out a way right out of the gate to make money.
Well,
Am I right?
At least you should find out the circumstances of it.
Yeah.
How did that? Who came up with that quantification anyway?
It's a bunch of beliefs.
I cannot believe how many people are willing to just jump on a perspective without trying to determine what were the situations involved in it coming to that particular type of conclusion.
Yeah.
And but it just, again, I'm just one who believes that you can have personal feelings, but you have to take a business approach, which means that you have to quantify, justify in order to buy. If you aren't doing those things, if the numbers don't add up, chances are you shouldn't be buying it, because you, again, if you're not going to be able to understand what it's going to take to get from point A to point C, then probably B is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, A is going to happen because that's where you're standing.
Yeah. You're going to be where you're
standing. But B is just going to blow right by you because you have no real idea of what is in between there. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to wish for C or hope for C.
And that's similar to what I said, looking at the completed model.
Well, that is what you said. Yeah. That is exactly what you
said. I like how you said
it. That it's better to.
I vote for his analysis of what I said.
Well, what you said made the point.
Yeah.
But I just think that sometimes simplicity is needed
in
a lot of cases where ignorance is the house builder.
Yeah.
You know, because people are just clueless in where they stand a lot of times. And that's why it's tough for me to sell people on the idea of using me as an advisor, even though I tell them that I've been in the game for 25 to 30 years, literally.
You look too young
for that.
And
I've pretty much seen everything when it comes to selling products and services.
Yep.
But to top it off, I feel like I have also gained courage along the way to know that if you're going to go out of business, go out with a fight, man. Don't just lay down and go, I'm just not going to do anything.
Like the song, let's go out with a blaze of glory.
Absolutely.
Remember that song? Great song. I forgot who
Put
sang
up a
it.
Fight.
Bon Jovi sang it.
Hey, there you go.
Now, Spencer, this probably makes sense to you because I think, and I know, or I'm pretty sure, let's downgrade it to pretty sure, that you pretty much have a vision of what a completed website might look like, and you put pieces in as you go along.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about. I think you have to build it that way, don't you? You have to have a sort of a general concept to know what you're even building, what you're working towards, right?
Yeah. Right. And kind of where we start is goals. Like, what do you want the website to accomplish? You know, I mean, because every situation is different. Everyone, you know, depending on what we're doing. But we say, okay, when your visitor comes, what's the most ideal thing for them to do? Mm. Obviously, you know, call you, or do you want them to submit and join your newsletter? Do you want them? What kind of interaction do you want as your final? You know, because someone's going to come to the website, they're going to go through a series of steps or pages, and then they're going to take some sort of action. Because there's generally very, very rarely do you put up a website with just no purpose, unless you're, you know, just the picture of me. I mean, there are plenty of websites with just my face.
Just your face?
Well, I mean, social profiles. But
I've seen you.
Yeah.
No.
Spencer.
Spencer for hire.
But, I mean, that's kind of the same thing you were talking about, where you talk about the final result and then work your way back.
Yeah.
And really think about, okay, well, if we're going to be, you know, the end is going to be them seeing a thank you for filling out the form. Okay, so we have the, we're not necessarily building them in this order, but we really need to analyze the process. And then once we have the process and the steps, we can implement everything and understand where we're going to optimize content. And then once we have this, we can also troubleshoot that process by tracking, well, where did we lose them? Where did we lose a visitor? And it's kind of the same way in working towards any goal. Where did we stop and what's holding us back from proceeding forward? And so it's definitely true what you said.
Well, you know, to talk a little bit about what Spencer is saying there in the sense of identifying with the relationship of building a website around marketing, around displaying, around helping the potential visitor to find what he or she is actually looking for, depending on what their interest level is, which is why Google made it very, very crucial that everything had relevancy. If it wasn't relevant, you didn't get the chance to play in that category or in that particular niche or sub-niche or whatever the case is, which makes a lot of sense. But what I find quite interesting about a lot of people that don't really get it, and I don't know exactly why, is that they insist on sending people to a website with no instructions. You just go there, and they're hoping, first of all, that you can read.
That's the first error.
Yeah, that's the first mistake they made, or that you even want to read. It would be nice for you to have possibly a little video that came up and said, hey, you may be lost, so let me help you with why you're here.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's sort of a cool tool.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
Yeah, we've implemented, you know, kind of the how the
video. Yeah, don't even show me the rest of the rooms because I might be in the wrong building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So well, yeah, there's certain websites where a person will actually walk off the side and it looks like they're coming off the side, and there's different places that you can help.
Really?
But that's very important because you get someone to the you don't want to make them have to figure out where to go because most people are just going to leave and go back. They'll hit the back button, go back to their search
page. Yeah, see ya.
Yeah, it's three seconds, 3 to 5 seconds, and then back to the searches and find something else.
And any of you folks that are going to use what I just said, please send me a check to Oh, just kidding.
So it really takes a willingness as a business owner, as a person, as maybe a company, to learn and to explore what you don't know. And when we come back from our break, I'm going to explain what that means. It's called the third level of thinking in neurolinguistic programming. It's an invaluable skill. You want to stay tuned for this, and we'll be right back.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, certified financial planner and certified divorce financial analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, certified financial planner, 602-235-0336.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel starring Spencer Thornock and Charles Gibbs. And we were talking about an NLP concept. Maybe it's a Dave Isaac concept. I don't know. Called the third level of thinking. And this is another great tip for the listeners. And then I'll ask how both Spencer and Charles apply this in their consulting and the services and products they provide. The first level is pretty simple. I know what I know. Most people play from that level. They know what they know, what's familiar. It's the classic comfort zone. They play within that zone. The second level is I know what I don't know. Now, that's still playing within their comfort zone. Like, I know I have a car out there. It has an engine, and I know that someone can fix it. But I don't know how to fix it, but I know someone can.
And so, I also don't know all my tires are flat because I haven't been out there yet.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the second level. But people need to start playing in the third level. This is above your self-imposed limitations, above your comfort zone. I know that I don't know what I don't know. Think about that. I know that I don't know what I don't know. Meaning, I know there's things out there that I would be shocked to discover even existed that could help my business, help my life, help my customers, but I have no idea. Like, right, Spencer, mm-hmm. sometimes when we meet, I go, really, you could do that on a website, right? It's like,
right.
And you're probably looking at me like, well, how come you don't know that? But no, you're always so nice. You never say that. But, you know, to me.
I always think that.
Yeah. But to me, it's like, wow, I had
the
no.
The unspoken words. Yeah.
But I had no idea that even existed. You know, and you probably get that both from customers, like, wow, you can do that?
Right.
Like, it's out of their awareness. So the third level of thinking, let's start with Spencer. How do you utilize this? How do you communicate that? That's where your real value is to explain to people, like, wait a minute. Did you know this thing existed to make it easier, you know, no matter what it is, to make your life easier, to make it more valuable?
Well, I know that I know that when I explain certain things that someone may not understand, sometimes it can actually work against the situation. So because it'll just start to bring questions that need to be answered.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, but it is helpful for me to identify things that new things that I can learn and new things that I can discover. But when I'm presenting a solution that maybe someone doesn't know about, it's important to help fill in the background data.
Sure.
Like kind of, there's an educational process.
Yeah.
Kind of like there's the concept of schema, which is the root word of schematic, which means that for you to understand something, like for someone to pick up an advanced accounting book, there's like a list of books they would need to read and
gotcha.
Build up a certain level of knowledge before they could even begin to understand it. So there's you know, when working with someone, it's important to get understand what they can relate to, and then also help them understand some new subjects.
Sort of bridge the gap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and sometimes it's probably simpler than even that, where if someone's driving, you know, 2 hours to work and they never realize there's a shorter route, like maybe a half hour, they would be really ecstatic to know, wow, I could save some time.
Right.
And people just don't think outside the box. Charles, how does the third level of thinking apply in marketing when you talk to people? And I bet it's significant because people just don't understand marketing. So you're filling in the blanks.
The first thing is that I am not really in the mood or in position to go through an educational phase with people because it took me too long to learn what I know.
A
lot of what I know is from an advanced perspective, meaning that, as Spencer just mentioned, if you think that you can skip A, B, and C and just go straight to D, E, F, and all the other ones, and you can do it at my expense, then that ain't happening.
Yeah.
For a number of different reasons. First of all, I don't believe you want to, simply because that's not what you do to make your living. You know? be good at what you do. Allow others to be good at what they do to complement what you do. And I think from a marketing perspective, as I see it, really, and that is that you are looking for someone that better understands how to put your product or service in the best light, in a better light, than you can, than you have.
And that's more the third level. Actually, what I think both of you started to talk about, should they learn the technical knowledge that you both have? And that's not the third level. That would be silly unless they wanted to be in that industry. But to expose them to the value of what you have, and they don't have to learn to be a doctor to give, you know, to receive medical treatment.
Right.
I don't have to be a web guy to know that, hey, when you complete a website and it's going to work and you just say, hey, this is how you edit it and you teach me that, that's about all I want to learn. But same with marketing, whether it's a website, what's the third level within your service you could provide people? You don't have to educate them on it. You just have to educate them on not how it works. I mean, not what to do as far as going to college or experience, but what some great marketing tools can do for them that they've never thought of.
Well, it's the more, I think you have to, I believe, take people directly to the result side.
There you go.
Not so much
model.
The building side. It's the completed aspect of what. What are the results you're looking for?
Yeah.
Because the result side can only be found strategically. You're not going to be able to, you know, even if you can, you can build a couch, that doesn't mean you can build a house.
Right.
Okay, so you may have some idea of how to do a little bit of something, but that's not the whole point of being effective. That's not how you can go to Spencer and say, hey, just build me this website. And Spencer is kind of going, okay, so what's the layout and what's the content and
they got to
what
participate.
Do you want it to? See,
somehow.
You know, it's kind of like, look, either you got to get involved and do this with me, or you're going to have to hire someone, i.e. a copywriter or someone who has some idea of your, then, because building it is not the problem. He can build it. The problem is that it may say stuff that, that you didn't want to be said to people that aren't listening.
And that's part of the educational process, too.
Right.
With some key questions, and you asked some really good key questions.
Well, I think over time, you kind of build up an arsenal of knowing exactly what you're going to need to know. But I was kind of thinking about what marketing is. Because marketing really is making people aware of the third level. It's making people aware of things that they don't know that they don't know.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
Because if you know, for us, we know all about our business. We know all of these things. We even know what we don't know. But we're not out there, you know, we don't really think, okay, we just kind of assume. A lot of people assume that what they know, everyone knows. Maybe they, you know, what marketing really would be is helping people know that they don't know that what you're, you know, offering exists.
And you can be marketing.
I like it. Yeah.
You can be marketing features when people really don't buy features.
They buy benefits.
They buy benefits.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And if they buy features, when they get it home and unwrap it, and there are no benefits in there, guess what? You're getting it back.
Buyer's remorse is gone.
You're getting it back, so get ready.
With a penalty and interest.
Yeah, with penalty and interest and a little kick in the you know what for doing it.
That's a good point. But I think this is such a key to getting out of your comfort zone and working above your self-imposed limitations is playing in the third level. And, you know, it relates so well to what I believe Einstein actually said and Tony Robbins picked up, is doing the same thing over and over again yet expecting different results is a definition of
insanity.
So that is insane. And so I think if anyone really wants to get serious and be committed, hire some type of coach, advisor, someone that can lift you up and above your self-imposed limitations. The value is way beyond your wildest imagination.
Right. The value really is. I think that people just can't seem to get their arms around how much time they waste, how much money it costs them to make a mistake that didn't have to be made. And that doesn't mean that the person you hire is perfect. However, chances are that traveling across country without a map with a person who has a map who can barely read it is still better than traveling across the country without one.
I like that. Spencer, give out your contact information.
You can reach me at reallyfastwebsites.com.
And that's Spencer Thornock.
That's Spencer Thornock, or Google me.
There you go. And Charles.
You can reach me at my phone number, 602-714-1693.
And what is it again?
602-714-1693.
And thank you, guys. Spencer Thurnock, Charles Gibbs. This was great. And we have it archived. Go to www.breakradioshow.com. Breakradioshow.com. Listen to this. Listen to a replay. Even an instant replay. We had all this laughter today. This is great. And we'll see everyone Friday with the ASU swimming coach. We got a dynamite sports show this Friday. ASU swimming coach, as well as some hockey people calling in from Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and even Winnipeg to talk about the Coyote sale. Everyone have a great week.